morning, everyone. The Merry Christmas Show is underway, and I know the Boy Scout and Girl Scout motto is be prepared, but I tell you, I think 4-H is pretty prepared as well, because next week is National 4-H Week, and I had a cancellation on the Mary Griffith Show today. So I called Melissa Shriver Hackamack and said, hey, baby, what have you got for me? And she produced two members of the 4-H Club immediately with no real time to prepare. So this will be your public speaking test. How is that? We're going to start with Brinley Hackamack. Brinley, introduce yourself to our WT80 audience. Tell us all about yourself, your age, where you are in school, what you want to be when you grow up, you know, the whole bit.
Okay. Hi, my name is Brinley Hackamack. I am 13 years old. I go to Liberty Junior High. I love 4-H. It is a great experience. I love doing floriculture, showing my sheep in the livestock program, and I'd like to be a doctor.
Wow. A medical doctor, not a veterinarian.
Yes.
Yes. We need vets, but we need medical doctors, too. Okay, Mariah Mintel, you're up. Tell us all the same things we need to know about you.
I am 13, and I go to the Liberty Junior High School as well. I'm in eighth grade, and I enjoy 4-H because I feel like I get to meet a lot of people, and they're good experiences for my future. And to be honest, I have no idea what I want to do, like, when I get older.
You're 13 and you don't know what you want to do?
I know.
Oh, that's horrible. That's horrible. We might as well introduce her as well. Melissa Shriver Hackamack is here.
Hello.
Hello. We often hear you when we're talking about the Adams County Fair. You have a background in radio and television, but you also love 4-H and love the farm.
That's right. I was in 4-H as early as I could be in 4-H, and then they kicked me out when I turned 19 because I just couldn't be in 4-H anymore. But it was probably one of the best experiences of my life. And I will say, my grandmother, when I think I was 11 or 12, my grandma told me, you're going to do a public speaking demonstration. And I said, no, I'm not. And she said, yes, you are. And that was the first time I actually spoke in public. And then I always say that if I hadn't done that silly little demonstration on how to make a milkshake in 4-H, I probably would have never gone into TV or radio for a future career. So
television,
thanks, Grandma.
Born of a 4-H project.
It was. It was a 4-H milkshake demonstration.
One thing you did, though, for your daughter that is very wise, you encouraged her to be a doctor, not a radio announcer. There's just a slight difference in the salary, okay? So keep that doctor track right on there. And Mariah, I can tell you right now, whatever you want to be, it's not a radio announcer, okay? That could be a hobby. That can't be your career. So we're going to talk about 4-H and what it does for people. And, of course, I was never in 4-H, but my mother and all of her sisters and everybody was in 4-H. It used to be that you kind of had to be a farm kid to be in 4-H. But Brinley, you're shaking your head. You don't have to live on a farm to be in 4-H at all. Anybody can be in 4-H, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Get close to that microphone, Brinley. You have such a nice, soft, sweet voice. Speak up real loud. Pretend I'm deaf, which I am, you know. So how in your club there in Liberty, what's the name of your club, by the way?
We are the Burton Flyers 4-H Club.
Burton Flyers, okay. And how many people in your club, are there people in your club who don't live on a farm?
A lot of the people in our club don't live on a farm. Like my family, we have a giant garden, but we don't have a lot of animals. But we have sheep at my grandparents' house.
So you at your house don't have a farm, per se, what we traditionally call a farm, but you have access to a farm. So you'd be a city kid, kind of.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, okay. So what about you, Mariah? Are you a city kid?
Yeah, I, like, don't live anywhere close to the farm. I live in Liberty, and I'm like, I think the closest thing to a farm is, like, I have a cornfield in my backyard.
Okay. So when you do a project then, do you have any livestock and you have to keep it somewhere else, or you just not have that kind of project for 4-H?
No, I do mostly, like, more the artsy projects, but, like, there are projects for everyone in 4-H, so it's not just limited to livestock and farm.
I think we think a lot about, you know, the Adams County Fair and the 4-H kids showing their, you know, animals. But there is so much more to it than that. Like you said, there's public speaking, there's arts, there's home economics. I know a lot of them have to learn. I think one of the things you pretty much everybody learns in 4-H is how to make an electric lamp or something like that. You have to understand how things work. So why do you think 4-H is for everyone? You know, we used to think 4-H was just to teach people how to be a better farmer. So it's obviously not that. It's to teach you how to be a better person. So what is it about 4-H? We'll start with you, Brinley, because you're in the first chair. So you never sit in the first chair. That's another thing you're going to learn. What is it about 4-H you think that is so valuable for yourself personally and for other people? What kind of values are you learning?
4-H has really taught me to be a leader and has helped me grow confidence in myself and how I've learned different things. I now am the secretary in my 4-H club. I am helping other kids learn how to do things. Mariah and I are going to be teaching all the kids how to make dog toys one of these days, and I'll be doing a floriculture demonstration. And it's really taught me how to be responsible and confident in myself.
What is floriculture, for those who are listening and don't know? Because I think I know, but I'm not sure. I don't want to think I know something when I don't. What is floriculture?
Floriculture is my absolute favorite thing to do in 4-H besides sheep. And what you do is you make a flower arrangement. You could either make one from a vase with just a line arrangement with just flowers sticking out of the vase, or you can do an oasis arrangement, which is what I do. You can do it a line or a mass, and you have to put leather all the way around this oasis, which is kind of like a foam, and put flowers in it, and it looks really nice.
So horticulture is the growing of the flowers, and floriculture is the decorative arranging and using the flowers. You could become, well, you're going to be a doctor. Be a doctor. There's nothing wrong with being a florist, but you could be a floriculturalist in your spare time. I imagine it's very calming.
Yeah.
Is it kind of a calming thing to do?
Yeah, it's so calming, and I love it.
And very
except
creative.
Except the night before a competition. You're a little freaked out.
Then mom has to come in and say, there's nothing calming about the night before a competition. But that is so wonderful. Do you know that years ago, Brinley, a contestant for Miss Quincy won the Miss Quincy competition, and her talent was floral arranging.
I did not know that. That's
so
very cool.
That is a wonderful talent to have. Floriculture. I love that. Mariah, tell us about a little bit. You say you're artsy too. What are you into? Tell us about your projects.
So I do a lot of the visual art projects, like at the county fair. And I also enjoy doing the leadership. Like I do the binders every year. And it really helps like with my public speaking, like help talking to the judges, because like if I didn't have that, I don't think I'd be able to like do a lot of the things I do today.
I swear I've had a mental on this show before. Do you have an older sister or something, or older brother?
Yeah, I have an older sister and a lot of like uncles and aunts.
Okay, I think someone in your family has been on my show before. Okay, you, after 35 years, they all start to look the same. And the only thing I know is they're all getting younger and I'm getting older. That's the only thing I know for sure. Mariah, what is it about? I mean, you love to express yourself through art. You like the leadership activities. What is it about the core values? You know, you're only 13. We used to say in Girl Scouting, because I'm an old Girl Scout, we used to say, we're teaching the kids stuff, but don't tell them that. Just tell them they're having fun. Don't tell them they're learning something, because they won't want to go. So what is it about the qualities, the characteristics of being in 4-H that you think are really going to be useful for you when you're old and gray like me?
I feel like 4-H kind of helps me build like a love of community service, and like it helps me learn how to become a better friend, and like Brinley said, a better leader, and just like a better person in general.
The 4-H's are heart, hands, health,
and head.
And head. Heart, hands, health, and head. You wouldn't know I'd forget head, right? That makes perfect sense. And one of the things is keeping your body physically good, keeping your home in good order. Like you said, service to others through your hands. These are all very important things. When you look around today, so often your age group, the teenagers, get a bad rap. Oh, those teenagers. And unfortunately in the news business, as you know, The unusual gets all the attention, and people misbehaving is unusual. People behaving is usual. So unfortunately, the bad actors get a lot of attention. What would you like the WTAD listeners out there to know what 13-year-olds are capable of doing? I mean, you're pretty good-hearted people. What kind of service have you been doing, and how does that make you feel inside, Mariah?
I feel like the listener should know that, like, not everyone should be defined by, like, what some people do, because, like, me and Brinley aren't, like, know what you'd see normally. And I feel like that, like, through 4-H, I've been able to help people, like, get food, because, like, me and my sister, we started a food pantry in Liberty.
You did?
Yeah.
You started a food pantry in Liberty.
It's more like a food stand, not a food pantry.
That's okay.
But
that's okay. I mean, it's not going to be as big as Horizons from the very get-go, but you started something, you saw a need in your community.
Yeah, so basically it is a produce and food stand. So we have, like, a little area to put canned foods and, like, foods that can sit on the shelf for a while, and then we have a bottom section that people can bring their extra produce if they have any to give to the people who need it.
Wow. So you knew there was a need in Liberty, so you built this little miniature food service thing, and non-perishable items anybody can donate and put in there, and then, you know, perishable items, I bet they don't last long. They probably, you have a big turnover, so there is a need. And how does that make you feel to know that some kid may go to bed with a full stomach instead of hungry tonight because of something you did?
It makes me feel good to know that, like, I'm helping someone who needs it. And I've had, like, our 4-H club, the Burn Flyers, have helped us by donating food and money, and multiple places have donated money for us.
There are an awful lot of gardeners out there who really do grow more than they can possibly use. Yeah, like Brinley. But the problem is, it's a logistics, it's a supply chain. It's like, well, I've got all this stuff, but these tomatoes will rot. You know, I've got to get rid of them somehow. So having this area where people know that whatever's in season, they can go. And if there's always too many tomatoes, always too many zucchini, you know, all that kind of stuff, this is a place they can go and get, grab some of this stuff and get healthy food for their family. I applaud you. How wonderful.
Thank you.
How wonderful that is. Okay, Brinley, what have you done? Can you match that? What kind of service do you do?
For my community service, my family, who is almost all of us are 4-H members, we, on Valentine's Day, we visit widows and different friends of ours, and we take them flowers, and we make them chocolate strawberries. We also go to houses, and I also go to nursing homes, and I play the piano for them and help out at their, like, lunches and activities. And I really enjoy seeing how everybody kind of gets happier whenever I play the piano. And it just makes me feel better when it seems like something I do is helping other people.
You walk into the room and they light up.
Yeah.
Here's a little medical fact, Miss Future Doctor. I know this because my best friend who passed away was a speech therapist. The part of your brain that sings and the part of your brain that talks are on two opposite sides of your brain. So people who lose the ability to talk or they have trouble talking, they can sing. It's kind of like, you probably don't know him, but there was a famous country singer called Mel Tillis, and he had a horrible stuttering problem, but whenever he sang, he never stuttered.
Yeah.
Because it's two different parts of your brain. So a lot of times when you're playing the piano and people start singing along, those may be people who are really struggling to communicate their needs. But they can sing. That part of their brain isn't damaged. And so they can sing, and they're getting a lot of enjoyment. So you're bringing a lot of great enjoyment. You're putting smiles on people's faces, and you're putting food in hungry kids' bellies. Wow, and you're both only 13. That is pretty darn impressive. We're going to take a break. Can you guys stay for a while? Yeah, okay, good. Well, yeah. Can you miss school for a little bit longer?
Just
they're
a
like,
little
yeah,
bit longer.
Yeah.
They're thankfully good at school, too, so.
Are you missing a test? Am I getting you out of, like, a big algebra test or something? Oh, good. Okay. You don't have to make it up. Tell the teacher you get an automatic A. Mary said so, okay? We'll take a break. We'll head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative. We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. It is 21 minutes before Fox News at the top of the hour. Next week is National 4-H Week. 13-year-old Mariah Mintel and 13-year-old Brinley Hackamack, who are a member of the Burton Flyers Club and who both go to Liberty Junior High School, are here today talking a little bit about what interests them. And we also have Melissa Shriver-Hackamack. She'll hop in if necessary. And one thing we've been talking about during this commercial break is how much 4-H membership has grown and how much the kinds of projects you do. Now, I guarantee you, my mother was born in 1935. She did not do a computer project for her 4-H project. I'm sure she had a pig that she showed and something else. She probably did some theatrical thing, knowing my mom. But they didn't have computer science. They didn't have all this other stuff. So 4-H is keeping up on trend, right? What are some of the more things, maybe not things you're interested in, but what are some of the more unusual things that maybe some of your other Burton Flyer 4-H members are interested in that you're like, wow, I'm not interested in that, but that's kind of cool that they can do that in 4-H. Can you think of something, Brinley?
One thing I know everyone is interested in, girls and boys, everyone is interested in, like, the cooking project.
Ah, because they know they're going to have to cook someday.
Yeah, they love them. They love them. And I've seen, I think there's at least 20 people in each division, and it's really hard to, like, do really well in them, especially with so many competitors. But there's Cooking 101, and you have to make cookies, and they just keep going up until 401, and everything gets harder. I think everybody really likes that one.
What about you? Do you like the cooking, Mariah?
No, I don't do the cooking, but
that's okay.
I know a project that's been really small, like these past couple years, is like the making of the quilts and stuff.
Quilts?
Like the clothes and the quilts and all of the stuff.
The sewing project.
Yeah, like the sewing.
And part of that reason is, and you guys will maybe not be able to appreciate this, but it used to be like when my mom was younger, even when I was a girl, clothing was very, very, very expensive. And so being able to make your own clothes was really important. My mother and father also grew up during the Great Depression, which you guys will read about in your history books. And believe it or not, they used to take the old grain seed sacks and flour sacks and actually make their play clothes out of that. And my grandma would go out when the seed corn was delivered from Keller's, and she'd pick out the prettiest bag so that her girls, because the boys didn't care, but she wanted, like if there was a flowered sack or a checkered sack or whatever, she'd pick that sack of seed, whether my grandpa needed it or not. No, I mean, you know, but she wanted the prettiest bags for the clothing. So back in the olden days, clothing was very, very expensive. And so the only way to really have clothing was to make it yourself. I think one of the reasons that sewing projects have gone down, clothing is so inexpensive now. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get a T-shirt, you know, on a sales rack for $3. Why would you bother? However, there's an artistic and craftsmanship attitude. It's nice to see that 4-H is still teaching some of these life skills, because we need all these life skills. That's for sure.
I'm kind of partial to the clothing projects, too, because that's how I met my friend Tegan Orbit.
Really?
We actually met in 4-H, and when the girls say people meet new friends in 4-H, they're not kidding, because I remember, like it was yesterday, I'm standing in line at the clothing day for 4-H, and I see this girl in this matching hat and dress, and I just thought it was the coolest thing, so I started talking to her, and of course it was Tegan Orbit. Who knew that we were going to be friends for a really long time? It's a
and
lifelong friendship.
Worked together, and that Tegan still is rocking the fashion world every morning. As the weather girl on Channel 7 here, the KHQA, the ABC, and CBS affiliate. So you do make lifelong friends from these childhood experiences, and you learn and love things for the rest of your life. When it comes to challenges, how has your 4-H training, you talk about leadership, public speaking, think about a challenge you've had. I don't want to get too personal, but think about a challenge you've had, and how has maybe something that has happened in 4-H help you overcome that? Mariah, can you think of a time, even though you're just 13, you've had challenges in your life. Has there been a time when you've really been kind of stumped or kerfuffled and you've had to go back to how can I get out of this and 4-H helped?
I think one was like when I was kind of questioning what to do over like, I think it was like a project or something, and I talked to my leaders about it and they gave me ideas. And so it kind of helped me knowing I had that community that was willing to help and was always going to be there for me.
So learning at a young age that there are always experts in the field, there's always someone you can ask for help and advice, and that person can be your 4-H leader. It doesn't have to be your mom or your dad, who are wonderful guidance, but it's nice to have other guidance as well. What about you, Brinley?
For me, I've never been a very good speaker, especially in public. I'm kind of shy sometimes, but I've grown out of that because of 4-H. Whenever I joined, I was very nervous to, after they told us that we kind of had to do a talk or a demo. And my 4-H leaders, my parents, and Mariah all helped me get more comfortable and more confident in talking to other people. And now I'm secretary, and I'm going to be leading activities in our 4-H club. So it's very much helped me with my public speaking.
And you're on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
And you're not having stage fright.
Yeah.
Well, you might be having a little bit of stage fright. That's okay. But you're doing very well. So it's amazing. I think you would say, just like when you have a sheep project, you can't just work at it, you know, 2 hours before the county fair and think that your sheep's going to win the blue ribbon. When you have something that you want to be better at, whether it be public speaking, cooking, sewing, raising an animal, arranging flowers, you know, using a scientific advantage in a project, 4-H helps you repeat, relearn, repeat, relearn until you master that skill. Is that something that you think really sets you up for success then in later life? Because you're going to have to go to college. You're going to have high school, you know. You're going to have your senior year, which is not any picnic in high school. And you're going to have a learning curve, and you're going to have some failures. Does one of the things, it just shows you that you just have to keep practicing?
Definitely, yes. Whenever I started floriculture, flower arranging, I was not awesome. I hadn't even heard what Oasis was, but thankfully I had a mother that is absolutely awesome at flower arranging, and she taught me everything she knows, and now I think I've pretty much mastered it.
Now you're better than she is, yeah. And Oasis, by the way, tell me if I'm right, it's like made out of this foamy stuff that absorbs water, right?
Yeah.
So you kind of get it damp. And then you put the fresh flowers in there, and they, because it's wet, they stay fresh for a while.
Yeah.
Okay, see? Wow. And I didn't even go to 4-H, and I know that. But you also mentioned something that I think you may not realize, but you will come to appreciate so much as you get older. You mentioned that your mother helps you. You are also not only making new friends among your peer group, so you're learning that peer-to-peer 13 to 13-year-old friendship. You're learning that you can help younger kids and look up to older kids in 4-H. You're learning there's another adult in your life that you can depend on, and that's your 4-H leader. But you're also probably interacting more with your parents,
yes,
working side by side. And that's got to be a great memory that you're building, Brinley. I mean,
yeah,
like you said, your mom is helping you and teaching you, and you probably have some new ideas and some new trends that she didn't know about when she was 13, so you're teaching her as well, right?
Yeah.
Is this something you do? Like, do you ever sell your arrangements or anything? Do you have a little part-time business around Valentine's Day? You could make a fortune.
My family gives them away during Valentine's Day.
That's
and
right.
Then my family grows a lot of flowers. They're still going in our field. We deliver them in little vases to our neighbors.
And so
wonderful. They really like having the flowers just to put in their dining room.
I love that.
And I just think it's a lot of fun seeing how they like them.
See, I didn't go to 4-H, so I immediately thought of the capitalistic element of flower arranging, but you went right to the service project of it all. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. We're back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Brinley, you had an idea, so come right out with it. We don't want to let the day go by without you touching on whatever topic you want to bring up. So please, go ahead. Right off the top of your head, what did you want to say, Brinley? I caught you in mid-sentence.
I was just going to say that 4-H is a great way to travel to different places whenever you do really well, especially at the local level. For me and my floriculture project, I've won at the local level, and then we're able to go up to state and compete against people from other counties and then see their different projects and then how you could take theirs and kind of expand on yours more.
Yeah. So not really stealing their idea, but learning from each other.
Yeah.
Right. Inspiration. Art is inspiration. It's not stealing. It's inspiration. So travel is definitely part of it. You can travel locally. You can travel to the state fair. And if you really get good at something, I guess there could be a floriculture convention you could go to.
Well, there's actually national competitions. We have a girl in our club named Elena Smith. She went to the national poultry judging competition last year and placed very high among the best in the nation, which is pretty amazing to me that we have somebody locally. And in fact, she was just honored with a scholarship. Yes, you can earn scholarships in 4-H. So, you know, a lot of kids are really focused on those athletic scholarships. But if you're a kid or a parent of a child that really is not into sports or really not into other things like that, I mean, 4-H is right up your alley. You can earn scholarships. You got all sorts of opportunities. And, you know, there's projects for pretty much anybody. We've got robotics these days. Not something that I had when I was growing up, but they've got robotics, computer programming, shooting sports. If you're into trap shooting, this is something for you. 4-H has just evolved with the times and offers different projects that you would be amazed by. I'm kind of jelly that I wasn't in 4-H right now.
I know, and you know what's one thing that's very interesting? I went to the University of Illinois, and there is actually a residence hall over there, a home over there called the 4-H House.
Really?
And I guess if you're really good, you can get to live in the 4-H House. I'm sure you have some kind of perk, like not having to pay rent, which would be fantastic. This is the week to join. You guys have been members for a long time. You're never too late. If you're 13, you can join. If you're 18, you can join, right?
Yes.
And so they're going to see a lot of people next week wearing their 4-H t-shirts. You're going to see a big push for them to get people to join. And now's the time because, of course, it's a year-round process. But if you want to do any competition at the fairs or anything like that, get your projects ready for the fair. It doesn't have to be an animal project. It could be any project. But they usually do that judging around the summertime, and then you start over again in the fall. I do want to talk about, you can just call your Illinois Extension agent, and they will help you find a 4-H group that is near you
mm-hmm.
and the one that maybe fits your needs, something that they are all doing together. What else would you like to talk about? Have we hit it all? I don't think we have. There must be something more
to talk about. Well, I was thinking, you know, the girls are talking about, well, we have these large projects at the end of the year and that kind of thing. And, you know, I always think, man, when I was growing up, I had no idea I was actually learning about short-term and long-term goal setting. That's essentially what you're doing. You're finding ways to work your project in with maybe learning how to talk to other people about your project at first. And then at the end of the year, as you built upon your project throughout the year, you're going to the fair. And again, it sounds like a big pressure situation for some people who aren't used to the process, but it isn't. These people that are judging at the fair, they want you to do well. They're trying to ask you all the questions that you would want to tell them about this project. But if you think about it, that's the culmination of your entire year's work. And so these kids who are in 4-H, we've got, I think, more than 12 clubs in Adams County alone, and there's 6 million 4-H members across the nation. So lots of kids learning short-term and long-term goal setting, and they're accomplishing those goals and with some big results in many cases.
Yeah, I want to ask you, how does this play over into your school life then? Because if you have an active extracurricular life in 4-H, you also still have to get your schoolwork done. Brinley, has this been helpful to you for time management? I mean, we all know the last-minute crush. That happens no matter how old you are. There's always a last-minute crush. But has it made you, as you've matured in the process, have you been able to manage your time and get your task completed effectively in the time that's allotted?
Well, whenever I know that I have to do something. Mariah and I both are involved in volleyball, and sometimes they cross each other, and we have to pick one or the other. And it really helps with our time management because we learned that sometimes you can't do everything. Like, you definitely cannot be in two places at once. And it has helped me especially learn that I need to be more efficient with my time, especially with, like, schoolwork, and then knowing that I have volleyball practice the next day, and that I might have a test, like, that same day, too. It's really helped me learn to be more efficient with my time.
I like that. You can't be two places at once, and that's a true fact. When you're a grown-up, it gets even worse. Mariah, there may come a time when you have to make some choices. You know, you may have five things you want to do, and, you know, you've got to narrow it down. Is this one of the things that also 4-H helps you do? I mean, you never want to give up 4-H, but you may have to find a way that I can't go to that meeting, or I can't take on a project that large because of volleyball, because of school, because of other things I want to do.
Yeah, so last year I was a secretary for our club, and like Brinley said, I had to miss some meetings because of volleyball, and so I had to have people help me get me the notes. And like this year I'm the vice president, and I know that it's going to really help me with my public speaking skills. And I don't know, it's just a great experience.
But you always have to have somebody to back you up if you can't be there. So you've learned that you cannot do it all, but it's also quite possible in maybe giving them a leadership opportunity to kind of be your apprentice. Like, I won't be able to take notes, so you're going to have to do that for me. And that will help them maybe grow in their confidence that they could be the secretary next year. So you guys are busy.
Yeah.
Busy. Okay. So, Mariah, you still no idea what you want to be. Come on. Give me some idea what you want to be when you grow up. Come on.
I don't know. Maybe something with public speaking. Because I was so worried about doing my speech today in class, but I did this instead of my speech, so.
Well, tell your teacher she can download the podcast.
Yeah.
You can get, you know, I'm going to say I thought she got an A+. What's your teacher's name?
Epley.
Mrs. Kayla Epley.
Oh. Mrs. Kayla Epley, if you're listening, they did great. They both deserve A's on what they missed today. That's my time management. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you. 4-H week next week.